All right, so page one is finishing up from last week. So it was on last week, so maybe just start there. It was the end of the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Aleph Shin Aleph Sif Ches had this idea of lo yimkru lo ovei kochavim, that you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew, lest the non-Jew go ahead and sell back to a Jew. So we talked last week about some of the limiting factors in that, what exactly that means. But the but in the Malvushe Yesha, so he has a this first he, most of his discussion is regarding the issue of Lifnei Iver, meaning what's the story with you selling with a person selling shatnas even to a Jew? So if you have your if you have a suit shop, so are you, and let's say you know something has shatnas in it, so are you required to make sure that it only gets sold to non-Jews, or if you even sell it to a Jew, is that a problem of Lifnei Iver? So we discussed this is the most prominent cat issue of Lifnei Iver shows up in back in Kuf Nun Aleph in Yerdeya in the Hilchos. What is the detail? I guess Hilchos Avodah Zarah, is that being dealt with there? Where we come out with the Gemara has a distinction between Trey Avri Denara versus Chan Avri Denara, where the person would be able to do it on their own, versus if they wouldn't be able to do it on their own. I mean, if the only way possible way for them to get that suit is for you to sell it to them, so then you would be in violation of Lifnei Iver, you would not be allowed to sell it to them. But if there's another way for them to get it, that's relatively easy. So, for example, there's another suit shop in town, or they could also order it on the internet, right? So if that's the case, so then that would not be a violation of Lifnei Iver, at least not a level of Doraisa. It might be an issue Durabun. There's a Durabun issue called Misayeya. So there is a shach that is famous that often sort of resolves a lot of these issues by saying that if the person themselves if they don't care, meaning they don't care whether they're violating the din or not, so you're not responsible for the misayeya anymore. So that's a big that resolves a lot of these types of cases where the person says, can you get me a hamburger from the store down, can you get me a hamburger? Well, that might be a different issue, but like the boss says to the person, get me, you're going down to the shop. Can you pick me up one of those sandwiches that they have in the drugstores, in 7-Eleven. Oh, you're going to 7-Eleven for a cup of coffee. Can you pick me up a hot dog from there? Right. So, are you? And the boss is Jewish. So, do you have to say no? I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'd be helping you do an avera. So the answer is no, because the person could get their own hot dog if they wanted to. You're not really the one that is enabling them to violate the prohibition in full. They could do it on their own. And if they really don't care, so then you the so we assume the halacha that one can rely on the fact that you're not really in the category of Misayeya anymore. Now the one issue where perhaps does come into play is if they wouldn't know that there's a shatnas issue, meaning you post that the issues the suits here have shatnas in them. So is that enough to sort of avoid that issue, or do you have to actually warn them? So also that's the second to last paragraph here where he says that that if there's a question whether he would even do it, meaning you warn them or you put up a sign saying the clothing here has not been checked for shatnas and there's a possibility that it would be checked, so also you're not going to be in violation. Now, the last paragraph on that page, on page one, so I found that interesting, sort of the flip side of the case. He says, he says, oh, by the way, how about the following? I saw in the Shas Tshuva's Kinyan Torah, I'm not sure who that is, Shadan imutr lekabel livdok mishatnes begadim sheish behem mishum pritzos. Are you allowed to check a garment that will be used for pritzos? So a woman brings you a dress that is not sanua, are you permitted to be the shatnas checker? Because by you being the shatnas checker, essentially you're saying it's the dress is kosher to wear. But your opinion is that it's not kosher to wear. Now, incidentally, I remember our neighbor here who's not religious at all. So she had some religious cousin wedding that she went to, and she was all nervous about what to wear, and she found
found some, she found some dress that would, be fully, that would cover her and stuff, so she'd be able to feel comfortable. And she came back and she told Chava that, all the women at this wedding, they were all wearing all the dresses I would wear. They just put a shell underneath. Like, had I known that, I wouldn't have driven myself crazy going and getting a new dress for this. So nowadays there are some ways out of it, but nevertheless, if you know that, or for example, the other things could go and beg an isha ish li isha or mabushim perutzim, or let's say it's a male garment for a woman or some other type of parutz type of thing. So he says, well, achar she harich beinyan chomer ha'iser shelo yilbash ve'iser begadim hamavim lidei hirhor. So after you figure out the prohibitions of not wearing lo yilbash, you shouldn't wear a garment of the other opposite sex, opposite gender, v'aser begadim hamavim lidei hirhor, or the clothing that will lead towards hirhor, kasher shemakom shemutter likroa begadim eila, that in a situation where it would be permitted to tear clothing like this, like we find in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, bevadei she'ein shum heter larviach behem ulishtaker b'siyu lidei over yavera. So certainly there would be no heter to help them out and to assist them in being able to violate a prohibition. What's he talking about here? So there is this somewhat cryptic Gemara in Maseches Brachos where it says Rav Ada bar Ava was going in the street and he saw some woman that was dressed inappropriately. So he went over there and he tore her clothing off. Now, that doesn't sound like it's really resolves the issue, and it's unclear what inappropriate means. Now, the Gemara continues on and says that it turned out that it wasn't a Jewish woman, that it was a non-Jewish woman. He ended up having to pay a steep fine as a result, because it was not the right thing to do. It's a little machlokas what the issue is. The impression you get, I think Rashi's understanding...
If she was Jewish, it would be the right thing to do.
Right. So that's the problem. So the Gemara seems to indicate that I think Rashi says that the issue was a pritzos issue. There are other Rishonim there that say that it was actually a shatnez issue. So the shatnez issue, you understand a little bit more, because I think we'll get to, I think it's still ahead. If a person realizes in the middle of the day that they're wearing shatnez, technically speaking, they have to get undressed right there in the middle of the street. That's like sort of the way we under that's the simple reading of the, and that's the starting point for the halacha. So maybe it had to do with that. But here he's invoking it to say apparently Rav Ada bar Ava did the right thing. That's the assumption, however you understand that. And certain and therefore if he would tear it off, so you certainly should not be assisting them in doing a shatnas check. He says Uvefrat sheish tzad lomar shim lo yikabel mihem livduk mishum kach yimnu melubush begadim elu. And he says certainly if you say I'm not going to take this, I don't want to be involved, they're not going to go ahead and wear it. And not only that, if you do check it and give it back to them, then they will think that it's permissible to wear. So he says, as the Shach brings, he says, we're not commanded to keep a mumar away from an iser. That's what we mentioned before. If you know that they're not going to fix it in a way that it won't be prohibited to wear, Usser l'sayin b'kach. You're not allowed to help them. That's the opinion of the Kinyan Torah. And the Mabushi Yasha continues on and says, so it sounds like if you're checking for pay, even if you're checking for free, right, to help them out, he says, would not be okay. But in a place where it would be mutter to, where they would be selling it, and there wouldn't be an issue of misayeya, meaning the person's coming and saying, I just want to sell it and I don't want to have shatnas in my house, whatever, something, some reason like that. So then maybe it would be mutter, then it would be mutter to check from shatnas. But here he says, and it'd be interesting to think about what applications there would be to this, but to sort of, an interesting application would be if this comes up in the kashrus world, somebody wants to open up a sports bar, or someone wants to open up a casino night, or the issue with the kosher cruise. Yeah. From like the Glatyats, right? This is like 30 years ago. I remember as a kid hearing the discussion at the Shabbos table at my parents' house about the Glatyat.
But it was after we had a company party on it.
Ah, okay.
So what was the story? Were they permitted to stop mixed dancing or withhold Hashgacha?
I don't know, I didn't really follow the
I know there was the, I mean, we had a company party on it, so, we had like half the boat or something like that, so... which was very nice, you know. But apparently afterwards they had parties that there was mixed dancing, and whoever's given the hashgacha decided that that wasn't appropriate, and they weren't going to give the hashgacha. But the discussion around the table was, should a kashrus agency be dealing with those issues?
Right. Right. So there's a different kashrus agencies have different ways of dealing with these types of issues. I mean, there are some requirements that we that we impose, and some of them are like, you know, like issues of a store being open, like a meat store being open during the 9 days, right? These kinds of things, right? Putting a heksher on the food when what's going to be done with it is prohibited, particularly if it's not necessarily going to be prohibited. Meaning, someone in theory could say, I want to go to the tavern during the 9 days and make a siyum there for, 20 of my closest friends, right? So that would be mutter, right? So should we be doing that or not? So I think our general stance is that we ask them to sort of have a 9 days menu, just to say that things are a little different, and but we're not really going to enforce. You know, someone comes in and says, "No, I want a steak." So okay, they want a steak. That's not our issue anymore. Especially if they know already that it's the 9 days. But the Star K doesn't allow their meat restaurants to be open at all. I mean, they allow them to be open only for takeout during the 9 days. You know, they have a much more, they see themselves more as the Vad HaRabanim more than being the Kashrus Vad in some ways, right? So that's a thing that needs to, a balance that needs to be met. So here's just an interesting makor to keep in mind. At least you see somebody with the opinion. I'm sure you could have, you might see people on the other side, but at least you see someone with the opinion saying that, this thing is going to be inappropriate to wear. So I'm not going to check it for shatness. I don't want anything to do with it. Right, that
it's the Supreme Court wedding cake case.
Right, the right to the freedom from speech.
Yeah.
the one I heard over here, he was a plumber in Bar Park who was called in. They wanted to put in a dishwasher that would turn out automatically on Shabbos. And he refused to do that because he didn't think that you're allowed to do that.
So. That would turn on automatically on Shabbos. Uh-huh.
It's on a clock. On a clock,
of course.
Right.
Yeah.
He used to put the clock in.
I hear.
So the fools are also posketing.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so that is that, of course. I thought that I wanted to show that. All right, so move on to tests here. Moving right along. So now into the tour. So the tour here says, so the tour in Yud, where are we? We are in Sif Tes, yeah, Sif Tes here. So the tour talks about Mapos She Porsin Al Shulchan, the Kaneach Behen Yadayim. So if you have a tablecloth on a table that you use to wipe your hands, apparently that's a thing. Mapechos Hasvarim. So it's a little unclear what this means. This is a quote from a Mishnah, but some kind of sefer cover. Shenosin ala sefer shemistafkin bahen achar harechitza. And also there too, it sounds like you would dry it after you wash your hands. So yesh bahen mishum kalayim. So that would be a kalayim istu shemistafim. What's for concern? But shemistaprim bahen, right? In yesh lahem base. Oh, and I'm sorry. Yesh. And if it's some kind of garment that you use for a haircut, meaning like the cape that the barber gives you, if there is a head, like a room, like a hole for the head, so then you wear it, that would be aser. But if not, it would be mutter. So to put a covering on when you take a haircut, so the tour sounds like it would be permissible. Now the psak here is a little bit unclear. If you go to the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef says it's a mishnah meseches kalayim. These hand towels or matpechos hasfarim. Again, unclear what that is. Some kind of safer cover. Matpechos hasvag in behem yishum kalayim. Matpechos hasvag was the, I think, a body towel. So there is no issue of kalayim there. Rabbi Eliezer ever says it's aser. And matpichlas asfarim asurus mishum kalayim. Also matpichlas asfarim would be asur as well. Now, usually when you have a tanakama, a machlokas tanakama and Rebbe Eliezer, you would paskin like the tanakama against Rebbe Eliezer. But nevertheless, here, all the Rishonim, I think, paskin like Rebbe Eliezer. The Rash and the Rush say that in Yerushalmi, the halacha is like Rebbe Eliezer, right? The asur. The chain pasuk around the Ram says that as well, and so too the smag. Why? Mishum de betosefta mipicha de Rebbe Eliezer l'rabban. Because the tosefta seems to side with the Rebbe Eliezer against the rabban. V'chasav mefarish biyushami. What are these things? So the hand towels, right? Pamim shemechamim bayada. Right? If you take the towel and you wipe your hands in it, so sometimes it will warm your hands. So that's like a garment. Umatpichos svarim also pamim osa kimin tik. That sometimes these safer Torah covers, you would make it like a bag, right? Umasima bechiko, and you would put it on your lap, right? Umischamim ba, and that will also warm you up. Matpichos hasvag pamim sheroa rabo v'nisatef bo matpichos v'nisatef bo. And with these body towels, sometimes your Rebbe might walk in and you'll cover yourself with them. I don't know, I can think of some other people as well. It's all a strange example, like, but anyways, and the hair cutting things, so people there cover themselves with it in order so that their garments won't get dirty. So Yushami says that if your only kavana is l'shem mablish, this gets into what we've been discussing last couple of weeks, right? Why do you wear when you go to get a haircut, why do you wear the barber gown? Why do you, whatever that's called, right? Why do you wear that? So do you wear that because you don't want hair on you, or because you don't want hair on your clothing? So he says, well, your kavana really then is for your clothing. Avalein mechavin lo yesh, if that's not your mechavin, right? Avalein mechavin lo yesh mekomu shemet pechos, yesh lehen beis rosh v'lo He says, if it's just a blanket covering your garments, so technically that could be mutter. But if there's like a, if there's a hole in the middle, if it's actually like fitted to be worn, so then that becomes a piece of clothing, and then that would be a problem. I think enough for the flavor here. So so if we go to the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch here in Tess, I think that's what we're up to here. So Shulchan Aruch, I guess page 4, says, "Matpichos shemekanchim behem es hayadayim." If you have these towels which you use to wipe your hands, "Matpichos shemistapchim behem hakelim," or also towels that you use to wipe dish towels, "Vahakarkos v'shemistapchim behem achar harachita." Behem kelim v'hakarkos, things that you use to wipe the kelim or the floor, or things that you use after your bath, umat pechos svarim asur mishum kalayim, or the barber gowns, those are all asur, shere hayadayim nogus behem, v'im nichrachim al hayad tamin umischamin, because your hands get in the middle of it, and if you cover your hands with it, it'll be used for warmth for your hands, and therefore considered to be like a garment, and therefore a violation of shatness. What about the barber thing? So the Ramah here, he says, v'chein asur latfos mat pechos sheporsin al shul, he adds in as well, sheporsin al shul chan sheochlan alav. Also, you're not allowed to put it on tablecloth, right? Because what you eat on it, shakorin alav, shakorin alav v'saknesses, mikalayim mifteshel pamim mekaneach behem yadav umischamim behem. Also, he says you're not allowed to make a tablecloth out of it or use it for the covering of the shulchan. Put it on the shulchan when the Torah is being read there, because sometimes because there also people will wipe their hands on it. It seems like it should be usher to wipe your hands on the bima cover that's being used to hold the Sefer Torah. So I think the Malbushe Yesha says, yeah, you're right. But what are you going to do? People do it. So it might be usher because of a Kedushas Sefer Torah thing. But still, if people are doing it, so then that's a problem. So therefore, the Ramah puts this Gezerah, quotes this rule, says, nope, you can't use for tablecloth either. A tablecloth or for a shulchan cover. Now, what is this issue? Oh, and then he continues on with the yud is with the barber thing. He says, "My pechus mestaprim behem the barber gown." He says, "Im yeshlo beis rosh veloshinos akderach levisha aser mishum kalayim." That's when it's going to be aser mishum kalayim. Now, it's a little bit of a problem, because the Shulchan Aruch seemed to say across the board that it was a problem before, so you have to read it as before it was talking about the non-headed version, and here it's talking about the headed version, right? It's talking about the one that is a bigger issue. Right, as the Taz points out, that if it's just a garment, if it's just a flat thing, so then the purpose is not to wear, the purpose is to cover your beged. But if there's a head thing in it, so then it's clearly to be worn, and then that would be a bigger problem. Okay, Yud Aleph here. I don't think there's really anything, not much in the base. Oh, there was, not much in the base Yosef. So Yud Aleph, let's just do the Shulchan Aruch. I gotta go soon to get Shua. Yud Aleph says, Vilon. So a Vilon is a curtain. So im hu rach aser la sosu mikalayim, v'shemesh mischamim bo lepamayim. So if it is soft, you're not allowed to make it of kalayim. So if you have window treatments in your house, things like that, so you're not allowed to have shatnas in it. No. Hopefully they don't have shatnas in it, but right, they're not allowed to have shatnas in it. Mifnei shashemesh mischamim bo lepamayim. So im haya kasha mutter. And if it was hard, although if it was hard, like a hard fabric, then it would be mutter. Now the Pisachei Tshuva here on the bottom says, yeah, but we don't really know what's soft and what's hard. Meaning soft ones are a problem because you can sort of wrap yourself in it. No matter how much you yell at the kids not to wrap themselves in it, often they will wrap themselves in it anyways. So that would be a problem of kalayim. But if it's hard, it's not something that you could do that with. So the Pisachei Tshuva says it would be mutter. The Shulchan Aruch says it would be mutter. Pisachei Tshuva just says, but we don't really know what's hard and what's soft. So therefore, not a good idea to have these things hanging in your house. Now the Ramah comes along and adds in and says, but he says, Aval paroches shelifnei aron kodesh, o hamapos sheporsin ba'aron, o saviv hatora mutter lios mikalayim. He says of the paroches in front of the aron, or mapos sheporsin ba'aron, some kind of covering in the aron itself, or around the Torahs, that would be mutter to be made of kalayim. Why would that be mutter to be made of kalayim? So the assumption is, though it's not so clear, the assumption is because that's Tashmishi Kedusha, and who would possibly wrap themselves? Like, that takes some extra chutzpah, right? To not just, your parents tell you not to play with the window curtains in the dining room. That, all right, fine, that they'll listen to. But, to wrap yourself in the Aron Kodesh, right, that takes a little bit of extra chutzpah. Although, I think, what's his name? Schneier, I think Mark Schneier has a story that when he was a kid and his father was, it was a Kol Nidre night in Park East Synagogue in his father's place, and his father, and no one knew where he was, and it was time to speak. So he's like, all right, I gotta go. He went up and spoke, and then they begin Kol Nidre, and they open the Aron for Kol Nidre, and there's Mark in the Aron waving to everybody. So that's the way they say.
I would believe that story.
Yeah, okay. So I think he told it about himself, or I read in the newspaper about him. So anyways, so comes the Taz here and says, Osav of the Torah, around the Torah. So he says, yeah, it's in the Perek Hagos Ashri. This is a Taz here on the bottom. Perek B'nei Yer. Aval Mape, what's this Mape Sheporsin Ba'aron HaKodesh Tachas Sifrei HaTorah Osav of HaTorah? He says, if it's around the Torah, Aval B'Perish HaMishnayis LaRambam Perek Basra, Deklayim Mapu Sfarim Hainu Misefer Torah. He says, but wait a second. We had this line. This Mishnah included some kind of Torah, some kind of Sefer cover. That would be a problem. So the Taz says, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a Sefer Torah cover, meaning which he says, where he gives the name. Where is it? There it is. He says, V'chein kasu v'mayinu v'mapecha Sefer Torah, v'akach nira devadai asr la'sos ha-mi'il shal Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to make the Sefer Torah cover itself, the mi'il, which is shakorin mantle, which we call the mantle, o ha-mape shakorchin saviv ha-Sefer Torah atzma mikalayim. It's something used to wrap around the Torah itself, that's a problem, because that we see the shamish sort of holds it, and you know it's wrapping on his shoulder and things like that, right? And that is gathering warmth. Rather, the Taz says, what is the Shulchan Aruch? What is the Rama mattering here? He's simply mattering some kind of curtain that's inside the Aron. That's okay. But if it's outside, but if the Sefer Torah mantle itself, that should not be made of shatness. Why is this a big deal? I've looked around for a while for this. I have not seen any of, but I remember when I was in Rav Schechter's year, I can figure out why, because this is coming out of the curtain chumrah comes out of a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Beitzah, at the end of the first parak of Maseches Beitzah, because the Mishnah there says that you're allowed to carry shatnez on yontif even without an eruv, even though it seems so. For that to be mutter, it needs to have some kind of tzorach. So the Gemara wants to know what kind of tzorach would it be. So the Gemara says, well, you know, it could be that the curtain's used for an Aron Kodesh or something. So he said that actually was the minhag. That the minhag was to make the parochas out of wool and linen as a zecher to the parochas in the Mishkan. Right? That's what he suggested. So he says, and you see here that it's mutter, right? And Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that it's mutter, so therefore it should be okay. However, he pointed out that nowadays, that we don't just have a parochas in front of the Aron, we have a door in front of the Aron. 99% of the time, you have a door in front of the Aron, and they have a parochas in front of the door. In which case, the parochas is not tashmishei kedusha, it's now tashmishei detashmishei kedusha. It's now a secondary level of kedusha. So he suggested that that nowadays it shouldn't be mutter, because the heter in the Shulchan Aruch to have a vilon, right, to allow curtains of shatness if it's a paroches, that's because no one's going to wrap themselves in it because it's tashmishi kedusha. But if it's not really tashmishi kedusha anymore, it's only in front of the Aron Kodesh, right, so he says that then would be a that no longer would be mutter anymore. And I think he also added in that apparently in Europe, you don't think they had doors in front of the Aron Kodesh, they only had the paroches in front. So he suggested as well that in Europe they didn't, and in fact you see some vestiges of this today, that they would actually take the paroches off of the Aron and put it on the Shulchan in order to hold the Sefer Torah while the Sefer Torah was there. Right, it was also used as a chuppah. Right, sometimes you'll see, you can even at our shulchan cover at shul, there are these rings at the end, so in order to enable it to be used for a chuppah. But anyways, they would take the parochas and put it there, which also would maintain its level of tashmishi kedusha. Now the Shulchan Aruch here says that a shulchan cover that's an aron, that's a shulchan table, cannot be shatnez. I think maybe that's yeah, but if it's from the Aron, so then, you know, that it's going back and forth, so then you don't have to worry about it so much. So I remember hearing this in Shir. I've never been able to find any other sources for it. And the way he said then also, he says, oh, and by the way, 95% of paruchases are made out of shatnez. So when we made our parochas in shul, I forgot to like inquire about this. I was going to ask it Keter if this is true. Moshe Gantz, I asked today. He had no idea. He never heard of this before. But I did post it on this rabbi WhatsApp group that I'm on. Does anybody else remember hearing this from Rav Schechter at any point? Anybody know what he's talking about? And there is somebody who responded to me that's younger than me, actually. Yeah, I remember being in the shir also, and he mentioned the same thing. So this didn't expire when I was in the shir. It continued even after I was in the shir. That Rav Schechter said this Shikol Torah over, but I think he's certainly, it's very mistaber to say that it should not be made of shatnez. The fact that a lot of them are made of shatnez, I haven't been able to find any sourcing for that though. That's what he mentioned.
But it's okay to make them from shatnez because they are, it's another way you can wear them. I mean, because
no. In theory, it's okay if it really is tashmishi kedusha. But if it's just a curtain in front of the aron, in front of the door, so then it's technically not a paroches anymore. So the idea that you raise it to be tashmishi kedusha, and therefore no one's going to wrap themselves in it, outside of Mark Schneier, right? So that you shouldn't have to worry about that anymore. The problem is that if it's not tashmishi kedusha, so then we don't have that, you don't have anybody assuring us of that anymore. In which case, maybe the kula falls away. So his recommendation was that when you buy a parochas for a shul, make sure it doesn't have shatnez in it. You should ask specifically for not to have shatnez. I don't know. I wasn't able to find anything about it. Maish sent me something in Hebrew about a question about an Aron having shatnas, but it didn't say that they did. It just really quoted this halacha in Shulchan Aruch saying that it's permitted to have it, but it doesn't mean that they do. So I'm not sure what to do with that. Finally, one more thing. Yudbeis lo yikach adam beitza chama beged kalaim biyadu shekevan shu nitzel milchavos b'chom habeitza chashiva hana b'medias hakor. He says you shouldn't take an egg and put it in your and put in a beged of shatnas, right? Essentially, use a shatnas pot holder for this hot egg, because since you're saving your hand from the heat of the egg, that's considered to be like a clothing-like thing. Maybe not a deraisa, it's not really derech of a beged, but still, that's what begadim do, meaning begadim protect you from the weather elements, from the temperature elements. So if you use a pot holder, that's shatnas, so that's what you're doing. You're protecting yourselves from the temperature elements, and therefore it sounds like that would be a problem. Okay, so there's a little bit more in this sif, but then moving on to a couple of other things. But all right, so we'll call it. I call it a week this week. Got to run, and Mirz Hashem will pick up. I'll see if Sheldon's back for next week or not, and see about his shiur next week.
Yeah, what's the story with Sheldon? Is he coming back after Shiva?
Well, yes. I forget if he's coming back on today's Monday. Okay. So in theory, he gets up from Shiva Sunday. So he said something to me about Monday, but I'm not sure what he. I couldn't quite tell.
Because they have, because I'm leaving, so right. I just. Yeah, okay.
What are you leaving? You're leaving Monday?
I'm leaving Sunday.
For
2 weeks. So. Yeah, okay.